Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now coming up on the show, we talk to banker and author Mitch Feierstein of PlanetPonzi.com. But first, Bernie Madoff once said, quote, "The whole government is a Ponzi scheme." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he really doesn't know that much about Ponzi schemes. For not only did he get caught, but whatever pyramid-like scheme the government might be operating a small time compared to the Fed's biggest of all Ponzi schemes. Is that true, Stacy?
Yes, Max. Janet Yellen, the former Fed chairwoman, was in the news this past week on the 10-year anniversary of the crash. You know, it was 10 years ago that Lehman Brothers collapsed on September 15th, 2008. And Yellen says that the Fed should commit to future, quote, booms to make up for major busts. The U.S. Federal Reserve should commit to letting economic booms run on enough to fully offset collapses like the 2007 to 2009 Great Recession. Former Fed Chair Janet Yellen said on Friday, urging the central bank to make, quote, lower for longer, its official motto for interest rates following serious downturns.
Well, it's an interpretation of the mandate of the Fed, which differs wildly from, let's say, someone like Paul Volcker, who took seriously the idea of price stability and took seriously the idea that the Fed should take the punch bowl away before the party gets too raucous. And that would mean raising interest rates. But this Fed, since Greenspan, who first made this the new policy of the central bank, to simply make money available for bankers no matter what the cost is to society, and every single problem that's created, just make more money available to bankers. So it's not really a functioning Fed. It's a rogue Fed. And this statement just confirms that.
Yeah. And also, when you consider the wealth and income gap that has exploded in the past since we went off the gold standard, but in particular since 2000 and the reaction to the 2000-2001 financial crash of the dot-com era, the financialization that was allowed after Bill Clinton got repealed the Glass-Steagall Act and also introduced the Commodity Futures Modernization Act. So, you know, the top 10% of American households, as defined by total wealth, now own 84% of all stocks in 2016. So here what Janet Yellen is suggesting is that after the next crash, what we need to do is accelerate this concentration of wealth in the top 10%. And clearly there's nothing they're willing to do that will only harm the bottom 99%, which we've seen the impact of that around the world.
Well, the trend of buying back one's own stock, which used to be illegal, to juice earnings and to boost executive pay, I guess is almost at the end of the road there. We could talk to Mitch Feierstein about that, but there's only so many times you can do that trick, that accounting trick. So what they're saying is that, like Japan, like Switzerland, during the next crash, the Fed will actually be buying stocks in the open market. You know, one of the biggest shareholders of Apple Computer in the world is the Swiss National Bank. So there's no reason to ever stop Warren Buffett from making more money. There's no law he can break. There's no economics rule he can mangle. There's no reason ever to stop Warren from becoming wealthier.
Well, you said it best. We should turn to Mitch Feierstein of PlanetPonzi.com. Mitch, you're the expert on Ponzi schemes run on a global basis by central banks. What do you think of Janet Yellen saying that future booms are something we should engineer?
Well, a couple things. I mean, we've got to think about what central banks, what's happened in the central banking sphere. I mean, we've spoken at length, and my book details everything about Ponzi schemes and central banks and their reckless policies. But if we think about what's happened, I mean, Larry Summers, the societal cancer, who worked for Bill Clinton and was at Harvard University, he's the one that convinced Bill Clinton in 1999 to get rid of Glass-Steagall, which allowed for securitizations in 1999. So this created the three things that I point out in my book caused the problem: too much debt, too much credit, too much leverage. So the central banks under Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen, you have to remember that Janet Yellen worked for Bernanke, and basically these are lifetime academics that have never had real jobs in their lives, that have engineered the financial markets to basically, they've They've printed hundreds of trillions of dollars to bail out the 0.01%. So has this helped creating all that they've done? Look, debt is not a bad thing if it's used properly, but debt should be used to create productivity, not to be used for financialization. And this is what they've done. So what we've got now are the most grotesque asset bubbles in history, in the equity markets, in the fixed income market, specifically in the credit markets and in the property markets. Valuations right now are more stretched than they were during the dot-com period. They're the most stretched in history, even more than during the 1929 bubble, which caused the Great Depression. Now, if you look at what happened in Japan 35 years ago, you know, real estate and property values have dropped 90% since then. So do I think we're in a good position? If you look at the trillions of dollars in corporate debt that need a reset in the coming 2 years, big problem. Emerging markets, I've highlighted this before. I don't know where, you know, the shoe will fall first. Will Argentina default again? Will Brazil default? Will Turkey default, whose currency is down 35% so far this year? Those are the emerging markets. Now, in the EU, you still have Italy that's got $4 trillion worth of debt that they've already said they plan to repudiate. So what will happen in the EU when Italy falls over? Will Mario Draghi, Super Mario at the European Central Bank, come out and say, I don't care what the law is, we're going to buy all of the Italian bonds in the market. In fact, we're going to buy all of the sovereign debt that's in the market. You know, I don't know. Is that possible? Yes, it is. But what's going to happen? Will there be unintended consequences that nobody sees? I would argue yes. Are we on borrowed time? I would argue yes. I mean, look, it seems to me that, you know, Trump has come in and he's touting the great market, but what's going to happen is we are going to see a catastrophic collapse, and then they're going to blame it all on Trump. So it's the pumpy, dumpy Trumpy. Pump these markets up, dump them, and blame it all on him. I mean, I don't see how that we can avoid a, you know, Janet Yellen was disingenuous and all the central banks have been lying, but she also promised that we'll never see another collapse like the Great Recession that we saw in her lifetime. You know, I think not only will we see one, but it's going to be of a magnitude that's substantially worse than what we've ever seen before.
Right, Mitch, you know, let's refer back to history a little bit. So the question you pose is, are these markets overextended? Are we overdue for some type of pullback or a crash? Now, let's talk about a concept that came up during the Greenspan when he was running the Fed back in the 80s and 90s. Of course, the Greenspan put, remember that concept, was that the Fed would always step in every time liquidity was needed to bail out stock traders if needed. The Greenspan put. So people started to buy stocks with, you know, reckless abandon because you had the Greenspan put, which became the Bernanke put, which became the Janet Yellen put, which became the current Fed chair put, whoever that is. I guess his name is Powell. So this idea is that they are telegraphing to the community, to the global markets, that there is no downside risk. Stocks can only go up because a rising stock market is a good thing. Now, can this go on forever? As I've pointed out before, is that ultimately, with the number of stocks actually in the market shrinking, this amounts to a few companies like Apple now worth $1 trillion, Amazon worth $1 trillion. A few companies are just going to take everything private. Like the public markets are going to disappear. There won't be any public stock markets anymore for people to buy and sell stocks. There'll only be a few penny stocks for traders, but the 98% of all corporate America will be owned by a few private equity funds. And that'll be the end, full stop. Mitch, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, look, Apple, what are they buying? $300 billion worth of their own shares. Apple's buying back their shares. The Swiss National Bank are buying their shares. Everybody, you know, that's one of the most crowded trades. Apple does make money. However, Amazon being a $1 trillion company is ridiculous. That is one of the biggest bubbles that I've ever seen. And anybody who buys Amazon, think about what you could buy for $1 trillion. Anybody who buys Amazon at that valuation needs to have their head examined. Where can it go? I mean, seriously, where can Amazon go? Amazon doesn't really make money to justify that. At least Apple makes money. Do I think it's a $1 trillion company? Absolutely not. But what's happening is, you know, you've got these Ponzi-fied stock buybacks, which all they do is enhance the CEO suite, and it's making the 0.01% extremely wealthy. But look, if you look at the volatility that you've seen in the markets recently in the NASDAQ, you know, you're seeing slight gyrations, which tell you that usually when you get to a market peak, you start to see gyrations. You know, I'm not going to try to call the top of this market because you can't, and you've got to be pretty nimble in this market. But the Fed is not going to come out and ring a bell at the top of the market, which is what a lot of the 20-year-olds think, or they think if you buy it, that the 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds who have never seen a bear market in their lives, because the central bank policies of money printing have kept the markets in an upward trajectory. But this has caused, look, as I said before, it's caused the emerging markets, all we've done is had speculation. So all the speculative money that they printed ran to the emerging markets to capture yield. Now those emerging markets are going to default on that debt, and there's going to be severe consequences. It's going to be the first domino that falls is going to trip over the bigger dominoes. And then you're going to have a credit event, a massive credit event. So, you know, I think credit is grossly mispriced because you have children playing with toys they don't understand. And when you get like people pricing stuff off a 10-year bond, the yield on the 10-year bond, which is manipulated by central banks, either in this country, in the European markets, or in Japan, you know, look, they've had economic stagnation for 35 years there. I don't think that we are entering a period here now where we can have a downturn and then the significant period of stagnation, which could be 10, 20, maybe 30 years. But you can't have, as Stacy pointed out at the beginning of this segment, from 1981 to 2017, real wages to the end of that period, inflation adjusted, are lower than they were in 1981. So if you look at that and you look at house prices that are up several 100%, so are equities prices, and so are fixed income market prices. If you look at all the price action, everything else is skyrocketing. So what's the affordability like? So you get tuition prices that are up 2,000 or 3,000%, and people get out of school and they make the same amount, but they've got massive amounts of debt. You've created a new generation or three generations of debt serfs. So this isn't the way that you can move a society forward. So, you know, there are big problems that are going to evolve out of all of this reckless money printing and ridiculous policy.
Yeah, but just touching back on Amazon for a second, you said, well, who would be buying Amazon at a $1 trillion valuation? The question is, who is Amazon going to be buying with a $1 trillion valuation? So look at that Whole Foods acquisition. They bought that for a lot of billions of dollars, and it was accretive. The stock price went up. It was actually less than free. So they're using their stock as an acquisition currency. They can buy up all the supermarket capacity in America. They can buy up lots of stuff. And we already know that Bezos understates earnings because he hates paying taxes or what have you. So, you know, that's a monster out there that could just take a lot of stuff private and just there's nothing left to buy or sell. Again, my thesis being that this whole thing's going private, Mitch. Markets are going to be 5 years, 6 years from now, there won't be anything left.
Well, I don't know. I still think that you have to value the company at what it's valued at. I mean, you have people buying it because it's a momentum trade, but they don't make earnings that justify a $1 trillion valuation, no matter who they buy or what they buy right now. So when you accrue more debt and issue bonds to make acquisitions at a level at ridiculous valuations, eventually when you have to value stuff properly, there's going to be a problem. And I think the amount of corporate debt out there is staggering. I don't know how all this is going to get refinanced. I don't know that you're ever going to see enough demand to buy all the property that's for sale in New York, London, and all of the centers, even in Australia, Canada, at these bubble prices. I mean, there just isn't enough demand. So eventually, you're going to have these developers that go bust, and then the banks are going to have to do something with the bad loans that they have on their books. There will be a credit event. There will be failures. There will be restructuring. Whether it's done in an orderly manner or not this time, I'm not really sure. But I can tell you one thing, that we will have our Minsky moment, and I think it's going to come quicker than people think, and they're not going to have time to get out of the way. So, you know, I'm not very optimistic right now, but I think there are opportunities, and I think the opportunities are in things that have been sold off that haven't participated in these rallies, like the manipulated hard assets, like the precious metal sector.
Well, all right, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Mitch Feierstein. He's the author of PlanetPonzi.com. Also, look up Minsky Moment. He mentioned it there a moment ago. It's worth checking out and doing some researching on that. Until next week, bye, y'all.